My name is Alan Morse, and today we're going to be talking on the preeminence of the gospel, part 3. The preeminence of the gospel, part 3. We're going through Paul's epistles and looking at every place that he speaks of the gospel. He actually writes the gospel. He uses it in his lettering. This is the gospel. And then we're going to circle those, and then every place that we see it pertains to the gospel, refers to the gospel, or alludes to it. Anything that points to the gospel, we're going to put a check mark next to it. So when you get done, when we get done with these, we're going to have probably 4 of these. When you get done, you can go through his writings, and you can see they'll just pop out to you like stars throughout the whole gospel, where he mentions the gospel and he alludes to the gospel. Now we're going to Galatians. Let's turn in our Bibles to Galatians, and we're going to look at chapter 1. We're going through Galatians, and we're looking for the gospel. We're looking for the gospel, and it's just as neat as can be. Let's turn to verse 1, chapter 1, and verse 1. It says, Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who has raised him from the dead. Check that. That alludes to the gospel. He raised him from the dead. That's part of the gospel. For you, if you just came on for the first time, the gospel, what is it? It is salvation for the church. If you believe the gospel, and the gospel is that Christ died for your sins, that he was buried, and he rose from the dead. You believe that, and you'll be saved. Not only that, you'll be saved, but you'll be filled with the Holy Spirit. We'll be seeing that soon. So, check that. Now, let's look at 1:6. He says, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you by the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Circle that. Circle that gospel. But we've got to go on to 7, which is not another. But there are some that would trouble you, that would pervert the gospel. Circle that. What do you mean by perverting the gospel? Well, to give you a little idea, what was happening was the Galatian churches that were grounded by the gospel, believed the gospel for their salvation, were bombarded by the Jews who told them, yeah, we believe in Jesus too. These Jews did. They believed that Jesus was the Messiah. They're called Judaizers. They'd come into their church and say, but you can't be saved unless you're circumcised. You can't be saved unless you keep the law. And if we did that, if they did that, they're perverting the gospel. And you can't add anything to the gospel because Jesus totally paid the price for our salvation. There's nothing we can add to it or take away from it. He died for our sins and paid the sin debt for not only us, but for everybody in the world. He did it. No one else did. And he pointed to his death, burial, and resurrection for salvation, and we believe it. And they were perverting the gospel. Look what it says in verse 8. It says, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than which we have preached unto you, he said, let them be accursed. What's a curse mean? It's anathema. It's hell. Hellfire. And then you look what he said in verse 9. Circle that gospel in verse 8. See what he says. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than which you have received, let him be accursed. Circle that gospel. He didn't just say it once, he said it twice. And he meant it. You do not add anything in the gospel for your salvation. I don't care what it is. And you take nothing away from it. Let's look at verse 11. He says, but I make known unto you, brethren, that the gospel, circle that, which was preached by me, is not after man. For neither was it received it of man, or neither was I taught it, but was by the revelation of Jesus Christ. You see, when Jesus decided to take on a whole new body of Christ, you see, he was totally rejected by the Jews. Totally rejected, and he decided to go to the Gentiles. But he also went to the Jews. For 10 years, Paul preached to the Jews, and all they did was just darn near kill him. You know, he was totally, just, it was horrible what he went through. He cat of nine tails 5 times. You remember how they beat the Lord Jesus? It was horrible what he went through it 5 times. He was beat with rods by the Jews 3 times, and this is almost as bad. And he was literally stoned to death by the Jews, but God miraculously just raised him from the dead. There's no ifs and buts about it. The Jews don't stone you alive. They stone you till you're dead. That he gave them opportunities to believe, but they wouldn't believe. And finally, Jesus told him, don't go there anymore, only go to the Gentiles, for they'll never listen to you. They'll never listen to you. Let's turn to chapter 2. Chapter 2, and let's look at verse 2. It says, and I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that gospel which I preached among the Gentiles, but privately to them who were of the reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. What he did is he went up to talk to these Judaizers, and this is Peter, James, and John, to tell them that the Gentile is saved differently than the Jew. And we're not under the law. We're not under circumcision. This is what he was telling them. And then, and of course, they didn't want to deal with that. They couldn't believe that. And just look at verses 5. Circle that gospel. Look at verse 5. To whom we gave place by subject, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might be continued with you. You see, if they compromised the gospel, they agreed to say, well, okay, they have to be baptized. I mean, they have to be circumcised, and they have to keep the law. That would be compromising the gospel, and the gospel would just disappear. It wouldn't be worth anything. And so he would not compromise. Just look down at verses 7. But on the contrary, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me. What's the uncircumcision? That's the gospel for the Gentiles. Was committed unto him as the gospel of the circumcision, or the Jews, was committed unto Peter. So they realized there was a difference. Peter already knew it. Peter already knew it. He saw it firsthand with Cornelius. He went to Cornelius, and he was a Gentile, and he didn't want to go, but he went. And he went there, and he preached the gospel of the kingdom, that Jesus was the Messiah, and they believed. And the second they believed, they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they couldn't believe that. Because the Jew, in order to be saved, they had to repent, and they had to be baptized. They had to believe that Jesus was the Messiah. And then they were filled with the Holy Spirit. But the Gentiles, they just believed. Well, that's what we do today. All we have to do is believe. And they saw that they finally woke up. And of course, we find in verse 9 down there that they shook hands. And they shook hands and told them that they were to go to the Gentile, Paul was, and Barnabas. And Peter, James, and John, they were going to go only to the Jew. Of course, they didn't. But anyhow, because they were two different gospels. Sure, their gospels was perfect, Peter and James and John, when they're dealing with Jews. You know, but after that, not very long, I realized, and everybody else that knows how to rightly divide the word, that the Jews weren't going to accept it, and they didn't. And so they had to go directly to the Gentiles. Okay, let's go to chapter 3. Go to chapter 3. Look at verses 13. Chapter 3, verses 13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. I think I'm right, yeah. 3:13. Being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Christ died on the cross. Check it. He died on the cross for us. He was cursed because he died on the cross for us. Everybody is, he was cursed to everyone that hangeth on a tree. And he was there with our sin, not his. He was perfect. He took our sin, and thus he was cursed on a tree. That was our salvation, because he took our sins and paid for them. He died for our sins. He was buried, and he rose from the dead. Check that. Let's look at chapter 4, verses 13. Chapter 4, verses 13. And just look what it says. Ye know how through infirmity of the flesh I preached the gospel unto you at the first. You see, circle that gospel. You see, he came to them before he wrote to them. And they were all saved. He said, I preached the gospel to you at the first. You know, and they understood it, and they stood on it. But now there have been the Judaizers have been trying to get them to pervert the gospel. Pervert the gospel. Let's show you what happens when you pervert the gospel. It's a little bit of sidebar here, but look at chapter 5. It says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty which Christ hath made us free. When he came and died on that cross, he freed us from the law. He freed us from Judaism. He freed us from everything. He made us free. He said, and be not entangled again in the yoke of bondage. What is the yoke of bondage? The circumcision and also the law. It was a bondage. They couldn't keep the law. No one could keep the law. It was just bondage. But God, Jesus, when he died on that cross, he did away with those things. All we got to do now is believe the gospel. And he takes it from there. And he does it because he fills us with the power of the Holy Spirit. And God, look at verses 2. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ has become of no effect unto you. And whosoever you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. That's why you can't add anything to the gospel. I tell people, you're not saved by being baptized. And you don't add that to the gospel. You don't add church membership. You don't add speaking in tongues. You don't add anything to the gospel, or you're in trouble. You very likely Christ would profit you nothing. You remember we saw in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17, it was where Paul says, I didn't come to baptize. I come to preach the gospel, unless the cross be of no effect. He didn't want you to be trusting in your baptism for your salvation. And so look how many people do. Oh, by the thousands upon thousands of people believe their salvation is based on their baptism. And that's just, if they do that, Christ has no benefit for them. You add nothing to the gospel. You just believe that he died for your sins and he was buried and rose from the dead, and you're saved. You don't add anything to it. You don't add anything to it. Let's turn to chapter 6. Chapter 6, verses 14. But God forbid that I should glory except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Check it. That's the gospel. That's the gospel. To believe only in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we put our faith in, what he did on that cross. He died for our sins. Now let's turn to Ephesians. It's chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. And let's look at verse 7. In whom you have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin according to the riches of his grace. The redemption of through his blood. He died on the cross. Check it. Boy, that pertains to the gospel, if nothing else. Pertains to the gospel. Okay? Look at 1:13. I call this the second most important verse in the Bible. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4, is the most important, and this is the second most important. It says, in whom you also trusted, let me start off at 12, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom you also trusted after you heard the word of truth. What's the word of truth? The gospel. The gospel of what? Of your salvation. That's what you believe the gospel for your salvation. In whom after you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit, a promise. The word of truth, the gospel, circle it. Man, it's just as plain as day. You get the Holy Spirit, what it says, after you believe what? The gospel. You were sealed with the Holy Spirit. You see, the churches today don't believe the gospel, and they're running around without the power of the Holy Spirit. And if you don't have the Holy Spirit, if you listened to me last on part two, you're not of His. That's Romans chapter 8, verses 9. If you're not of His, if you don't have the Holy Spirit. And they don't. They're unsaved people who claim to be believers, but they don't have the Holy Spirit. That's why the church is in such a mess. They may have 500 on their board, on their members on in their books, but maybe 75 show up, and the 75 show up just show up because they think they should. They don't listen. They don't have a clue what's going on because they don't have God living in them. And without that, you're just as lost as can be. Just lost as can be. Just circle that whole verse there. That's a fantastic verse. It truly shows you who gets the Holy Spirit and why you get it, because you believe the gospel. You believe the gospel. Let's look at 19, verses 19. It says, "And what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe according to the working of His mighty power?" What's His mighty power? That's the gospel. His death on that cross, He paid for our sins, for everyone. And look at 20, "which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him on His own right hand in the heavenly places." That's power, and that's the gospel. Check them both. Let's turn to chapter 2, and let's look at verses 13. And we see, it says, "But now, in Christ Jesus, you were once far off, but made near." How? By the blood of Christ. Check it. That's the gospel, the blood of Christ. Look at 2:16. "And that He might reconcile both unto God in one body, and by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby." Check it. That's the gospel. God in one body by the cross. And by the cross. Let's look at 3:6. 3:6. "That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of His promises in Christ by the gospel." It says, "of which I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me of His effectual working of His power." The gospel. Circle that gospel in verse 6. Now look at 19. 6, 9, excuse me. At, 3, 6. And then we turn to chapter 6. Turn to chapter 6. And look at verses 19. It says, "And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that in this I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." As I ought to speak. Of course, we know Ephesians is a prison epistle. And he was in prison. But he made known the mystery of the gospel. What is the mystery of the gospel? You see, no one in the Old Testament has ever heard of the gospel. Peter, James, and John, and disciples, and Jesus never preached the gospel. Not the gospel that we have. They preached the gospel of the kingdom, that Jesus was the Messiah, but they never preached the cross. Of course, they couldn't have, because Jesus hadn't died yet. He hadn't died yet, and it would have been a mystery only given to Paul. by Jesus Christ when he went to Arabia. He pointed out this gospel, and he pointed out that this gospel is going to be salvation to the body of Christ. Everyone that believes this will be saved and filled with the Holy Spirit. How wonderful. Let's turn to Philippians. Let's turn to Philippians, next page, chapter 1, verses 5. For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, circled the gospel. Look at 1:12. But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen on rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. Circle it. Unto the furtherance, all the things that was happening to him, it was dealing with to help him with the furtherance of the gospel. And he was in prison, but he still furthered the gospel in prison. Look at 1:17. But to the other of love, knowing that I am sent for the defense of the gospel. He sent for the defense of the gospel. Circle that. We don't only one had to defend it. He had to defend it mightily. Mightily. Just look at verses 1:27. Only let your conduct be in becometh the gospel of Christ. The gospel of Christ. He says, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Circle it. For the faith of the gospel. Let's look at chapter 2, verses 8. Chapter 2, verses 8. And being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself to become obedient unto death, even the death on the cross. Check it. Check it. That pertains to the gospel, if anything does. Let's look at 2:22. But ye know that the proof of him that as a son with the Father he hath served with me in the gospel. He was talking about Timothy. Check it. Timothy preached the gospel also. Preached the gospel. 2:22. Look at 3:10. 3:10. For I may know him and prove of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering be made conformable unto his death. And being made conformable unto his death. The power of his resurrection. Check it. That's the gospel. That's the gospel. Let's look at 4. Chapter 4. And let's look at verses 3. And I entreat you also, true yoke fellow, help those women who labor with me in the gospel. You see, the women were involved in the gospel. And they were involved in preaching the gospel. Or not preaching the gospel, but involved in helping Paul in his ministry of the gospel. And just look at 4:15. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel I departed to Macedonia. No church shared with me as concerned giving and receiving, but ye only. The gospel. Mark that in 15. Circle that. The gospel. The gospel. You see, Paul was in prison all this time. And you know he was involved in many things. But every place, everybody that came there, he preached the gospel. He said that he would take the soldiers that were chained to him. And they before they left their shift, I know they knew the gospel. I know that because they went about throughout the whole country, the Roman country, telling and teaching the gospel. Even in Caesar's own palace, there were people there that were believers. So, we see in Galatians that Paul said that he was not ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he got the gospel directly from the Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't get it from anybody else. He got it directly from the Lord Jesus Christ. And he took that gospel for his whole life and did everything he possibly could do to preach the gospel to everybody I mean, everybody, no matter what he went through all kinds of dangers and tribulation this guy went through. No man, I don't think, on earth went through the tribulation that he went through because of his love for Jesus Christ and to preach the gospel. To preach the gospel. I actually even told my pastor, I said, you know, I've been with you for 30 years and I never heard the gospel preached. But Paul preached it every day. That's all he preached. The sermons today, preaching in the churches today, they don't preach the gospel. They don't preach the gospel. They avoid Paul's writings like the plague. 95% of all the preachers, the sermons on Sunday are based on Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and there's not the one bit of salvation in there for the church. Not one bit. Sure, there's things we can learn from them. We need to know his earthly ministry. There's no doubt about that. But we should be teaching in Paul's epistles because he is the only one who wrote to the Gentiles. Only one that wrote to the Gentiles. You look at Peter, James, and John, and you look at their writings, and they'll tell you. They'll tell you right up front. They were writing to the Jews. They weren't writing to Gentiles. And you can't take their writings and put it into the gospel, or you void the gospel. You void the gospel. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to teach the gospel and open up the book to show them how important it is. And I just pray that you'd open the minds of every person here that they understand this, how important the gospel is. And we pray it in Jesus' precious name. Amen.